Today's lesson comes from 1 Timothy 6, verses 6 through 19. Hear God's word, a message from the Apostle Paul to Timothy. A devout life does bring wealth, but it's the rich simplicity of being yourself before God. Since we enter the world penniless and leave it penniless, if we have bread on the table and shoes on our feet, that's enough. But if it's only money those leaders are after, they'll self-destruct in no time. Lust for money brings trouble and nothing but trouble. Going down that path, some lose their footing in the faith completely and live to regret it bitterly ever after. But you, Timothy, man of God, run from your life from all this. Pursue a righteous life, a life of wonder, faith, love, steadiness, courtesy. Run hard and fast in the faith. Seize the eternal life, the life you were called to, the life you so fervently embraced in the presence of so many witnesses. I'm charging you, before the life-giving God and before Christ, who took his stand before Pontius Pilate and didn't give an inch, keep this command to the letter, and don't slack off. Our Master Jesus Christ is on his way, and he'll show up right on time, his arrival guaranteed by the blessed and undisputed ruler, High King, High God. He's the only one death can't touch, his light so bright no one can get close. He's never been seen by human eyes. Human eyes can't take him in. Honor to him, and eternal rule, oh yes. Tell those rich in this world's wealth to quit being so full of themselves and so obsessed with money, which is here today and gone tomorrow. Tell them to go after God, who piles on all the riches we could ever manage, to do good, to be rich in helping others, to be extravagantly generous. If they do that, they'll build a treasury that will last, gaining life that is truly life. May God give us understanding. Let's take just a moment of silent prayer. Amen. It's just about this time, some years ago. Okay, I'll tell you, back in 1988, when the kids and I packed up our Chevy Blazer and a horse trailer that didn't have a horse, but it was packed with the few belongings that we had. And we started on our cross-country travels to New Jersey. It's a little scary. And to say that we were on a tight budget is to put it quite mildly. We camped out most nights. And yes, I'm not really a camper, but we could afford that. Occasionally staying in a really cheap motel so we could get a shower or two. Most of the meals were at cheap fast food places, because that's what we could afford. And then we finally made it to New Jersey. We moved into this empty apartment in the pouring rain, looking around with our few boxes of things, no beds, just the cots that we'd used for camping along the way, trying to figure out how we were going to turn this place into a home. And so we did what anyone else would do under those circumstances. We started curb shopping. Princeton's not a bad place for that. We found little odds and ends of furniture. We picked up some inexpensive on sale, outdoor furniture, an outdoor table and chairs that we got, I think, at a Walmart or a Kmart or something. And that became our dining room furniture. Laundry baskets became our wardrobes. Yeah, we were living quite simply. And scary as it sounds, I think a couple of our first beds also came from curbs. I don't even want to think about that right now. But we did what we had to do. And time we were ready to start a new adventure, filled with anticipation of what is God going to do in this? Yeah, it was scary. But I have to say that at the same time, I've never felt more blessed in many ways. Because we had the essentials. We had what we needed to get by. And we could see God doing things that continued to surprise us and provide for us in ways that we never could have anticipated. One of my many secondhand purchases was a computer, an old PC. This was back in the day, those of you who've been around with computers for a while, this was back in the day when the computer consisted of a black screen and really old-fashioned looking white letters. And essentially you could type in it, and I was able to type my homework and print it on an equally old printer. And I found this at a garage sale, oddly enough, in the neighborhood where we're now living. I remember thinking at that time, as I looked at those homes, which seemed rather extravagant to me at the time, wondering if these people, in their safe, secure lives, were aware of folks like my kids and me, who were just kind of struggling to get by, and others who I knew were struggling even more. And wondering, now I was making assumptions about them as well, because as I've come to live in that neighborhood, I know they're good people there, but also with their own struggles, right? So those struggles can go either way wherever we are. But I have to say that in that time, I never felt poor. I never felt poor. In fact, in some ways, I never felt richer, because being put in that situation of having to rely totally on God's provision was amazingly liberating. It freed me in so many ways to really watch, really pay attention, really think about the person that God was calling me to be, the person that I wanted to be. And so as I look at this letter from Paul, it could have been to me at that time. And it really is to all of us. I love the fact that he's talking about pursuing the righteous life, and that he starts out by saying to be filled with wonder. Now, that's not necessarily the first thing that comes to mind to folks when they're thinking about the faithful life, right? The righteous life. But having a sense of wonder, it means being in the moment. It means being aware of everything around you. One of the things about not having a lot of stuff is you do tend to be more aware. And when we first came, we were amazed by the beauty of this state, by the rural areas, the farm fields, cicadas. We don't have cicadas back there in California. We did have crickets, and I could hear those too, which I loved. But just the sense of wonder of seeing and being, and because of being in a new place, having the opportunity to see things with new eyes. But that's key in our sense of righteousness, to be filled with wonder and awe at all that God has provided, all that God is doing. And then Paul talks about faith. Well, there's no way I would be out here have ever come without some faith. I had to step out in faith. And my faith only grew from that choice, because God never let me down for an instant. And so often we are playing it safe, not knowing that when we're playing it safe and thinking that we're being smart in doing so, that we are actually keeping God from showing us this new world, keeping God from growing us, keeping God from providing us with all kinds of amazing gifts.
That faith component is tied right in there with that sense of wonder. And then there is love. We hear about that a lot, right? That we are to love. But that too is liberating. When we know we can love everyone, even the ones that seem like the bad guys, even the ones that drive us crazy, even the ones that are far from perfect, which includes all of us, that is liberating too, and so essential in our journey. And then there's steadiness, also known as endurance, perseverance. It might be familiar to a few of us in this room today. The righteous walk requires us to hang in there. That means no matter what, even when things look bleak, even when things seem impossible, to hang in there and not give up. Because the pattern that I see over and over and over in my life and others is that when things are the hardest, they're typically just before a major breakthrough. So we have to hang in there in those tough times to get to that other side. And then, this may also surprise you, courtesy. Yeah, that ties in with love, but it ties in with all of our righteous journey. And courtesy is not just a matter of being nice to other people, even when you don't feel like it. But it comes out of an awareness that everyone you come in contact with is dealing with something of their own. And the ones who are most difficult for us are often the ones who are carrying the heaviest burdens that we have no way of knowing anything about. So that kindness, that courtesy, is a really important part of this whole picture. It's a funny thing, following this path. It calls us a lot of times to step out in ways that aren't exactly what the other folks are doing. It kind of reminds me of this story about E. Stanley Jones, and where he was crossing a street, and the woman who was with him grabbed his arm and said, "Stop! Don't you see the light is red?" And he said, "Yeah, but everybody else is crossing." And he said, "Don't watch them. Watch the light." And that's what each of us have to do as well. Not watch how other people are handling things, what they're doing, what the mob is doing. But we have to keep our eyes on the light, the signals that God is giving to us to guide our path. And that can sometimes feel a little strange. But the faithful path can be strange in a lot of ways, and we're all trying to figure it out, right? Even pastors. Like, one of the stories that amuses me most is one about a pastor, John Wesley, who he and his family, when they lived in this big house, his father was a minister. He was only 6 years old when the house caught on fire. They managed to get everybody out of the house except one, John Wesley, the six-year-old. And he's up in one of the upper floors. They're doing the head count. Oh my God. And so immediately his father's on his knees praying for his son's safety. Now, his mom was faithful too. Trust me, she was praying as well, but she was also very practical. So she was immediately running to get a neighbor with a ladder, and they got the kid down safely. But I mention that because often we can get so lost in the spiritual side that we can forget that it also involves action. The righteous life is not just about believing. It's not just about our own little world. It's also about how we act, about how we live it. Reminds me of still another story, of an old Eastern story about a man who had this beautiful opal ring. And the story was that this opal ring gave the person wearing it all the qualities of goodness. Sounds pretty good, right? I want one. And it was passed down generation to generation, and finally, it was passed down to a man who had three sons. What to do? One ring, three sons. And so he had two additional rings made that looked identical to the original. The time came when he passed, and there were the rings for the sons. And they were frustrated. And they told their lawyer, well, now how are we going to know which is the real ring? And the lawyer, interesting enough that this would come from a lawyer, he said, I suspect that we'll know who has the real ring by how they lived their life. How they lived their life. We're called to a life of the greatest wealth ever. If we just do it. Not simple. But the scriptures give us some good tips along the way. Be in the moment with a sense of awe and wonder. Just continue to grow in your faith. Continue to share love wherever you might be with others. Be steadfast, even when things are difficult. And finally, be courteous. Play nice. Good tips. Now, we just need to do it. Let us pray. Almighty God, you bless us in so many ways. Let us never forget that. Let us never lose hope. Let us never get discouraged. Let us stay the course. Help us to keep our eye on your light, and help us to hunger and seek true wealth. In your name we pray. Amen.